Lord. That when our Father, when we hear from your word, let your word penetrate into our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name, O Lord. Let our hearts and our minds be attentive to you this morning, O Lord. Father, we sung hymns, we sung choruses, we sung songs to exalt your name. We're blessed, O God, this morning, O Father. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank, O Father, for sending your Son, Jesus, for us, Lord. Lord, this morning, we humbly come before you, O God. We humbly come before you, ready, O Father, to receive from you, Lord. You have a word for us, O Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you would do great and mighty things in your precious and holiest name. And all God's wonderful people say, amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to take this opportunity to welcome every one of you here this morning. If it's the first time you're here with us at New Hope Christian Assembly, welcome. I just pray that you are encouraged and blessed through the worship. And as we praise the Lord together, as we worship the Lord together, this is just a glimpse of what is going to be happening in heaven. There'll be a great time in heaven, a great time of glorifying the Lord together. And as we know that December is a month of rejoice. You know that rejoice can be in every month of the year, but we're focusing on rejoice this month here. So I just want to encourage you, if you're not rejoicing in the Lord this month here, you will be bored when you go to heaven. And let me tell you that, okay? Because a place in heaven is going to be a place of rejoicing, a place of jumping, a place of excitement, a place of joy, a place of clapping, a place of praising the Lord. So just start now in enjoying the presence of the Lord. So if you have not danced, if you have not moved, if you have not clapped, I encourage you to do so. Because this is just a glimpse of what we're happening in heaven, the rejoicing in heaven, and there'll be so excitement in that place there. There's no time to sleep in heaven. And there's no time to sleep at New Hope Christian Assembly. Amen. Who's with me this morning? Welcome for the ones who came back on vacation. It's nice to see you back, all nice and dark skin, sister. Nice to see you. I don't want to mention your name, but we all know who you are, Gina. But welcome for every one of you that's came back from vacation, or just welcome back to New Hope Christian Assembly. It's nice to see you. And for I know the some that are going out, so we just pray for traveling mercies that God will be with them. There's some families are even out today as we speak, and they'll be leaving for the next couple of weeks. We're going to go see them from their families outside of the town, out of the province. So we just want to pray for them. God give them traveling mercies. But also God gives us, you know, remove that jealousy, you know, because sometimes we're always here. But it's nice that when our family and our friends will travel, but it's our duty also to pray for them. Just may the Lord just be with them as they travel and to be with their families. Amen. The theme of the whole Bible is love. You know that. God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, the one who does not have love does not know God, because God is love. And 1 John 4:16, and we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. Not that he has love or gives love, but he does that. His very nature of God is love. That's who he is. God is love. Love. And the whole theme of the whole Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament, even though the people believe that in the Old Testament, God's not love. God is not love because he was strong, a holy God. But we see even in the Old Testament, God's love towards his people. In Psalm 136, every verse you will see in Psalm 36, you will see that there's an everlasting love, and it was quoting from the heart of God. And the prophet said, I love you with an everlasting God. Everlasting love, quoting from the heart of God. In Psalm 63:3, my lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than love, is better than life. David said, thy loving kindness is better than life. Better than life itself is the love of God. Isn't that amazing to know? Maybe you might say, I want the life, but God's love is better. The New Testament, then the New Testament comes along, loving carnal love with legs. Jesus Christ came to live among us and to demonstrate the love of God to every individual. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God has demonstrated his life for you and for me. You and I will never fully understand the love of God until we get to heaven. That's the love of God. It's so amazing and it's so big. You will never understand it until we get to heaven one day with him. New Hope Christian Assembly, we know that God's love is extravagant, eager, outrageous, pure, powerful, and personal. God is love and he loves you. And he loves you this morning. And he loves me this morning. He loves us all this morning. God is love. And I want to put that into your hearts this morning. Once again, God is love. And that was just my nugget before I start to the message this morning. Because I want to speak about God is love. And if God is love so much that he loved us so much that he sent his son, baby Jesus, on this earth. Years ago, the anointed king, the anointed priest, and the anointed prophet. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is Christ the Lord. That's the love of God that he came on earth for you and I. So let's rejoice because God is love. God is love. Isn't the theme rejoice the whole month of December? If you're not going to rejoice with me, poor you, because I'm just going to scream and wake you up because God is love. God is love. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2 verses 10 to 14 is our main focus. We've seen of Luke, and last week we've seen of an anointed priest, anointed king, anointed priest, and anointed prophet. We've seen that Christ is Lord. We've seen the Messiah. We've seen the angels that came down, and the angel came down and spoke the good news. When you hear good news, it brings you great joy. Man, we all love great news because it brings us great joys. Bad news does not bring us great joy, but great news brings us, good news brings us great joy. And God loved us so much that he prepared everything, that he says, I'm going to come on earth as a baby, as a king of kings, as the Lord of lords, to give you this great good news, to give you great joy in your life and in my life today. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14, we're going to read all the verses, and then we're going to just look at verses 10 to 14. So that's together, let's read. If you want to read it together or you want me to read it alone, sometimes it can just go at a place before I read it together. So let's try to read it together, okay? In those days, a decree went out. The whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place in governing of Syria. So everyone went out to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up to town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in a house of family lineage of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the lodging place. And in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were all terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
Today, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in the feeding trough. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host, and with the angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." As we see in this text, it's all about joy. It's all about celebration and excitement. It's about a child that has been born. And in verse 7 it says, "Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in the feeding trough because there was no room for them." There's an excitement when a child is born. And you know that some of you had just gave, some of this families gave, a couple just gave birth to a child. There's an excitement in the house. And there's an excitement right there because a child has been born. It is good news when you hear a child has been born. The joy expressed in verse 13, and tells us, suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favored." The whole feel of this text is excitement and feel and joy, and is excitement there. There's so many things that we can rejoice in this text we've just read. There's a lot of things, if we read from verses 1 to 14, places that you can rejoice the Lord. My prayer is something that would happen inside of us this morning as when we look at this text together. We have heard this text, we have read this text, and we have heard this story many years, many Christmases, we have heard this text. But my prayer to you today, that we would take this text in a different way. Allow it to speak to your hearts in a different way. Because God's Word is active and is alive. And it speaks to us every time we read the Word of God. So I encourage every one of you, as when we look at these texts today, let your heart be open, your mind be open to receive what God has for us here in this text that we've read today. When we look around us, we see that there are families and friends. There's an excitement in the air, as we hear that expression, excitement in the air. People are so excited, going out and buying gifts and going everywhere, and the lights, and everybody's so happy, smiling. There's jolly, "Merry Christmas, have a good day." And we see the outward of people's expression, there's an excitement. But there's hundreds and even thousands of people who are suffering the inwardly in the time of Christmas today. There are people who are suffering inside and has not experienced that joy that they need to experience, the good news that will bring joy. Now, whatever situation it may be, when we receive the great news, when we receive the good news, when we receive this Christ, when we receive this Lord into our lives, it will bring us that great joy. But look at it today. There's a lot of people around us that you and I know are not happy as we speak today. Some of us are happy because we have it all. But some of us are hurting because we don't have it. It can be financials. It can be separations with the family, with the children. It can be struggles in anything of life. Though everyone from the outside is looking good, but the inward, they're hurting and they're suffering inside the heart. But God says, "I know there will be people like that in this world. So I'm going to come in my own flesh, and I'm going to come on this world. The anointed king, the anointed priest, and the anointed prophet will come and give you great news that will give you great joy." At times we're looking at the wrong places to find joy. It's not under a tree. It's not under a bank account. It's not that that will bring you joy. The everlasting joy comes when you accept the good news into your life. And the good news is Jesus Christ himself. And many things that you and I cannot understand about the whole text that we hear. And if we just want to just look at it, I asked the question last week, why Mary? Why Joseph? Why the angels, the angel to the shepherd? Why in the middle of the field? All that stuff, we can ask all those questions, why? And there are many reasons why God did it that way. But I can tell you one thing, why God came to Mary is because we can look at in Genesis chapter 6, as Noah was favored in the eyes of the Lord, Mary was favored in the eyes of the Lord. And God has given this opportunity for Mary to give birth to a son called Jesus. And then a stable, why? An inn where all the animals used to go, and they're going to this place, and they're there to the worst of the worst. If he's going to be the Son, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, why in a manger? Why in a place like that where there's animals and smelling all that stuff there? Why, Lord? Why did you come in that? Because God, the most important thing of all that, you can find all the reasons why, but God came for one reason, for you and for me. He didn't care how he came, but he came for you and for me. And he used any method to do it. But if God, you know, God, why not? You put Jesus as a king atop, that he didn't have to have any suffering, any pain, any struggles like that. But you put him in a little place, in an inn, in a stable, in a manger. You put him there with the animals. Why? If you are the king, why did you put him there? And there's people who can just look at that and say, why? God was not really that loving. But I can tell you one thing, and you know through the scriptures, because he came for you and he came for me. That's the most important thing. I don't care how he came, but he came. That's the good news for me. He came. God is coming in the flesh. The incarnation of the word of life we see in 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, our hands have touched. This will proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. In our fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. It was God in the flesh coming down for you and for me. And as we've seen and we have heard even last week, Christ is the anointed king, anointed priest, anointed prophet. God chose a group of shepherds in the middle of the field, in the middle of the night, to give the news again and said, and God has planned it everything accordingly. He knew what he was doing. God could have announced it in any other way, but he did it this way. He gives us this news in the middle of the night to a group of shepherds. And I still understand, and I ask myself, always ask myself the question, why in the middle of the night? There are many reasons we can look at that. But in verse 11, it tells us this: for you in the city of David, today a Savior who was the Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the middle, in the city of David. I have to believe that God chose it that way, that a Savior was born for you. A Savior was born for us. He was the king. He's the king of the universe, the king of all nations. God could have put him in a wealthy family, but no, he put him there. He could have put him around nice people, but he put him in a place where people just attacked, even Mary, the peer pressure, and everything else. God chose it this way for you. So the first thing that I want to look at this morning here, why should you and I rejoice? Why should I rejoice in Jesus? Why should I rejoice when I go to church? Why should I rejoice when I hear the word? Why is all that rejoicing aspect? The first point, rejoice because God is good news for all people. He's not selective. He's not selecting a group and say you're just good news for you, but the Bible says for all the people. It's not just for the Jewish people. It was even for the Gentiles. It was for everyone that I've come for you. I've come for everyone, a person in this place here this morning. I'm not selective, but God says I'm coming for all the people. Shepherds rejoice. Rejoice, shepherds, he was telling them. Jesus come because he loves people and he cares for people, and he has come for all that you might receive him as the personal Savior. Look at this for a moment. He is the King of Nations. He is the King of Nations. We see in Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. Verse 3 says, nations will come to your light and kings of the brightness of your radiance. Jesus come for all the people. It says that God is good news for all the people and great joy for all people. Everybody needs the same thing, Great news and great joy. Everybody needs the same thing. You look at it for a moment. All over the world, there are different cultures, there are different nationalities, there are different color, there are different everything around the world. But there's one thing that you and I need is to be saved from going to hell. We all think differently. We all have different minds, different cultures, different way of thinking. But we all need to get away from hell. And God said, I'm going to come on earth to come to you so you can accept me, so you can get away from that thing of hell and come with me one day. So he's good news for all people, not being selective with nobody. And that's the good news that you should not rejoice. Thank God that he came to you. Thank God that he came to me. He revealed himself to you. Thank God he came to another person of your family. That he did not select you. Did not select your son or your husband or your spouse. He came for all of us. And that's the beauty of God's love. It's amazing to know. So why not rejoice? Because God came for all people. Not just for you. But look at the something else extremely important that we hear this morning. Good news is for all people. But number two, we look at it. Jesus is also good news for individuals. Not just for all people, but also for individuals. Look at what it says here. Today a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city. See, for you in the city of the Lord, of the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in the feeding trough. So he came for you. That love was personally, it was just for you, just for the shepherds. It's only for you. It's a personal encounter right there. It's for you. Now, if I'm going to tell you something this morning, and I'm going to say, God loves you all, you're going to take it as it's a statement, general statement. God loves you all. God loves you all. But if I'm going to say, Audrey, God loves you, it wouldn't make a difference. Because it's a personal thing. Instead, this is a public statement. Now this becomes a personal thing. So that God said, I'm coming for you, Audrey. And you know the word love can change a life completely. His love is so powerful, it can change our life. I recall there was this new person who has come into the other church where I was ministering at. And it was maybe the third week that she came there to the church. And something in my heart just told me that, to tell her that God loves you. Just personally, just that. And we always hear that. Oh, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you all. We make it so lightly. But something strong came up to me just to go up to this woman and say, God loves you. So she was walking down the hallway, and I just took her, and I says, can I have a moment of your time? And she goes, yes. And I says, I want to just tell you this. God loves you. She just cried and collapsed to the floor. It was a different, because it was a personal thing. She felt the love of God in her life. And here it is when we say the good news is not just for all people, it's for you. It's for Ray. It's alone. It's you and God. That's the love that he wants to give to you. And that's the love he wants to give to Gina alone. Alone when you're in your room. It's, I love you, Ray. I love you, Audrey. It's a personal alone with him. And that's amazing. So I'm going to rejoice because he loves me personally. He loves me personally, though he loves you personally, each and every one of us here. So why should I rejoice? Because he loves all people, and because he loves you individually. Now, if I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to say, I will take, I don't know, just someone from the congregation, I'm going to say, Twyla, you love your daughter, Natasha. You love her so much. You can do it. You just, that love is so big. And you choose that love is so, times that to thousands of times how God loves you. There's a big love. He says, I love you so much. And you will never fully understand the love of God until we get to heaven. He loves us so much. And I wanted to put this in your head, in your heart. He loves you so much that he wants you to experience his love. He wants you to experience that love. And God sent His Son, Jesus, on earth and put Him in this place, the birth of Jesus. Put Him in an inn. He says, I come for you. The shepherds heard the good news. We looked at the verse 10. It says, yeah, I came for all people, but now He came into a personal thing. Shepherds, I came for you too. He's coming for you. Not just for the others, but He's coming for you too. And the beauty of this, that's when you experience that love of God into your life. Everything will change. Everything will change when you experience the love of God. Many of us have experienced roller coaster love. Today you're in love with someone. Tomorrow you're not in love anymore. Now I love when people have these relationships. Oh, I love this husband of mine. Oh, he's amazing. I love my spouse. Wow, she's beautiful. Now all of a sudden, 10, 4 years later, or 5 years, or even 4 months later, man, I don't even know why. If you love me, Lord, if you love me so much, why did you send him? Why, Lord? The Holy God, He loves us so much, huh? Because the enemy attacks the heart. And when he attacks the heart, he attacks our emotions and he attacks our affections. That's what he does. But when you truly experience that love of God, nothing can separate us from Him. Nothing will separate us. Your husband cannot separate you from the love of God. Your co-workers cannot separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you because you have experienced the love, the pure, the power of God into your life. And that's amazing. I'd rather have that than something else in my life. But when you have that full love of God into your heart, everything changes. Because now you look at the people differently. You look at the crowd differently because God loved us so much. He did not judge you, Ray. He did not judge you, Audrey. He did not judge me. He says, no, I love you so much that I'm going to send you an anointed king, the anointed prophet, the anointed priest to help you and to pour His love upon your life. And when you have this love, everything changes. We all want to be loved. We all want to be hugged. We all want to be heard to hear the word, I love you. But hear it from Jesus this morning. He loves you individually. He loves you individually. Maybe there are people that have failed that love to you. Maybe that people have failed that love. Put that aside for a moment. And say, Lord, if this God is true, and you are the living one, and you sent your Son for me, I surrender myself, and you fill my heart with the love of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, if you surrender, God will pour His love upon your life this morning. He will do that, because God is love. He cannot change that. He cannot change that. He is love. He is love. Why should we rejoice? Why should we rejoice? And then you see in verse 13 and 14, suddenly there was a multitude. Look at this for a moment. They were afraid. They were terrified because of one angel. Now there was a multitude. Just the shaking. What's going on there? Multitude of the angels praising God, saying, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. And peace on earth to people He favors. There's an excitement in the air. There was an excitement. Those angels say, glory! Church, you better start rejoicing now. Because when you go to heaven, you'll be bored. Because there's going to be rejoicing in heaven. There's going to be singing glory to God in the highest. This is the old-time Pentecostal preacher. He goes back and forth like this. I do that to get your attention, by the way. I don't want you to fall asleep on me this morning. But look at this for a moment. Glory to God in the highest. and peace on earth to the people he favors. Now, if I rejoice, there's going to be peace on earth? It's not talking about war, because we know that there's struggles and problems all over the place, all over this world. It's talking about the spiritual form right here. You will have this peace within your heart. Glory to God in the highest. And peace on earth to all. How is God going to favor you? He's telling you this. I have come on legs to you. But if you come to me, I favor you. If you come to me, I'll favor you. And if you go to him, he favors you. And the peace of God will transcend into your life completely. Because that's who he is. God is love. You can't change that. So when you accept Christ, automatically the love comes in. If you accept Christ, automatically peace will come in. That's who he is. He's a God of peace. Though don't listen to what the people say about the Old Testament, that God did not love people. The love, I've even shown you some scriptures, there was love even in the Old Testament. And there's also love in the New Testament for us. God has sent his son for you and I. The word peace here was not talking about the peace in war, but was a spiritual peace. Traditionally, the Christmas story tells us in Luke 2:14 that the angel sang at the birth of Jesus, and on earth peace, good will among men. That verse sounds good, and that's probably how most people remember it. But the problem is this. If that's what the angel said, they were wrong. Jesus didn't establish universal peace on earth. And there's still a lot of not so good willing toward men in this world. Well, as you can imagine, I don't think the angels were wrong, but I do think that the verse has been misread for many, many years. You see, if you really study what the angels sung that night, you will discover how much better, a better translation is in this way. We can look, peace on earth among men of good favor. This is peace on earth to men upon whom God has favor. And the English Standard Version would tell us in this way, puts it this way, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. You see, there's a difference. Those who have experienced God's grace are the ones who truly experience the peace of Christmas. It is not the peace, it's not a peace that takes away the conflict, but the peace that exists despite conflict. And if you are in Christ, that's the peace you have today. The peace of God. The peace of Christ. And you know, in Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you will have this peace with God if you go through Jesus Christ. You got to accept him. He's telling you, come to me. And if you go to him, that peace of God will be in your life. I'm not saying that. The Bible tells us this. So if the enemy was telling me, you don't have the peace of God, send them away. Because if you have accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, the peace of God is in you. The peace is there for you. The peace is there for me. You can have all the struggles, all the problems, all the situations, but you can still have the peace. You will look at things differently because the peace of God is in your life. Who gets this peace? All who grants salvation. All who goes to him. All who goes to him grants this. So those who have the peace with God are those who God has revealed himself to. And if God has not revealed himself to you, you don't have the peace of God. So Jesus Christ is good news for all people. God is ministering in your life. And I know that God is talking to people individually in this church. He's talking individually in this church. And you might be asking, I'm sensing something. It's something that doesn't make any sense to me. It's weeks that I'm here or maybe months that I'm here. But there's something that's happening within my heart that I don't know what is happening. But I can tell you one thing. That's the Holy Spirit ministering to your life. And he's telling you these words. Come to me. Just surrender yourself to me. Allow me to have be lordship of your life. And I can tell you one thing. If you do that, because many of us have experienced that, if you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you will receive that peace of God upon your life. You will receive that joy in your heart. You will receive the love. And everything that you've seen that it was hopeless, now you see there's hope. Everything you have seen that this it cannot be done, now you see it differently because God has come into your life completely. Now, if there's someone here that's feeling that, in this, it doesn't make any sense. What is this? What's happening? I'm a little bit buzzed. What is going on with me? God is ministering to you. And these are the words that he's telling you. Just come to me. Come to me. Come to me and give him your heart to him. And you will see what God will do. He is ministering to you and he's saying that. You are not going to make it without me. That's what he's saying. You're not going to make. That's why God loved us so much that he says, you know something? I got to get these people to understand. And I'm going to come on legs and I'm going to be and I put myself in a place, in an inn and all that stuff there. Come anointed. Come anointed. So he can walk among the people to demonstrate his love. He says, if you can't see me, now I'm going to send Jesus. I'm going to come down and show you. And that's what he did. Because he wants us to experience it. God is moving into the hearts of people around the world. And I tell you, God is moving. You might not see, but God is moving. My primarily responsibility for me in this church here is to preach the good news. That's my first thing that I'm called to do, is to preach the good news, the gospel of God to all people. To every generation, to every culture. That is my primarily thing. Programs are secondary for me, but I'm called to preach the gospel. To allow someone to experience the power of Jesus Christ in their life. God is telling us in these words, wake up and look at Jesus. That is the Spirit of the living God telling you to come to me. Come to me, saying. So church, why should you and I rejoice? Because he came for all people. And then he came for you. He loves us so much that he came for you alone and you for me alone. That is love. So there's many reasons why you should rejoice. We've looked last week, we can rejoice because he is the anointed king and priest and prophet. He's the Messiah, he's Christ the Lord. We can rejoice for that, can we? And also we can rejoice this week because he came for all people and he came for you. So why should we have our mouth shut? Why should we keep our chairs warm? Why not get up? I looked at this video the other day. There was a man, like he was, I think it was 175 or something like that. He was old. But that's not the point. The point is he was like with this walker. And there were people worshiping. And that guy was going, he's just trying to dance. He was getting into it. Because he says, I'm going to move. And I'm going to rejoice because the Lord is with me. And he was just getting excited. And it took him like 20 minutes before he took another step. But it doesn't matter. He just gave it his all. He gave it his best. Because he understood why he's rejoicing. We complain. We have a hard time to rejoice. I'm not looking at other churches. I'm not looking about conservative churches, though I came from one. It's okay. You can be conservative all you want. If you want to be conservative, be conservative. We can slip a hand once in a while and say, thank you, Jesus. It's not hard to do that. Remember the other church that we were at? I hope he's watching, my senior pastor from the other church. We were five pastors, and all along on the platform, we were sitting down. That's where we used to. That was the tradition before last time. Sitting down, and we're just, everybody's singing and dancing out there. Not everybody, a group of people. And then you see four pastors. And then you see me. And they're just looking at me like, I'm rejoicing. it's okay. But, Pastor, once in a while you can slip up your hand and say, glory to God. Because if you don't do it here, you're going to be bored in heaven. So I rejoice now. I'm going to rejoice now. Because you and I know, when praises go up, Sorry, who said that? You all said that. When praises go up, blessings come down. Let's all stand for a moment this morning. And I want to conclude with a song of rejoice. Do we like that? Now, I'm not saying that you all have to be in a club here, you know, like start dancing back and forth. But whatever it is, if you have to clap, you clap. If you have to move your legs, move your legs. If you have to worship, you worship. If you have to bow, you bow. If you have to kneel, you kneel. But the key of all this is to rejoice because Jesus came. The best Christmas gift you will ever receive is when you receive the gift of Jesus Christ into your life this morning. Are you with me this morning? So I encourage you this morning as we sing our song and then we're just going to conclude in prayer. My prayer is this, if God is tugging your heart this morning and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, you say, who is this child? Who is this anointed King? If you are that person, take this opportunity this morning and say, you know, I want to experience this Christ. I want to experience His love. I want to experience His peace in my life. So every eye closed, every head bowed. As we're going to conclude today, if there's someone here has not made that decision to follow Jesus Christ, the personal Savior, I encourage you to do so today. If you're shy, it's okay. Come and see one of us, or even myself, and say, listen, I really want to know Christ. How do I accept Him as my personal Savior in my heart? I want Him to be part of my life. I want Him to be part of my family. So this morning, if you're that person, one or two, whatever that person is, the best Christmas gift you will ever receive is not the gifts that will lose its value or that will rust or will lose the cost of it. No, the best gift you'll ever receive is Jesus Christ in your life. It will not break. It will not lose its value. But instead, that gift that you receive will give you the peace, will give you the love, will give you the joy that you're so many years looking for. And today He's telling you these simple words, come to Me. Come to Me. So Father, I pray for that individual right now. I pray for the ones who do not know You this morning, Father, that they will make the step this morning to accept You as their personal Savior. Father, I know they're here this morning with us. Father, Your love is so amazing, it covers the multitude of sins. You're not even looking at their sins. You're not even looking at them. The only thing You want, Lord, is You want them to come to You. And Lord, we pray right now for those individuals right now, God, that You will speak to them individually, Lord, and tell them in their hearts, I love You. And they cannot contain that love, that they will just run at Your feet, Lord. Father, I pray for every family here, every friend, every family, every couple, every person in this place. I pray, oh God, that You would just bless them tremendously, Lord. That You would be with them in this time of season, oh God. Because Lord, there's even at this time of season, there's people who are hurting in this church, in this home. And Lord, I just pray that You would pour out Your love among them, oh God. Bless them tremendously, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You, even for our visitors that have come here this morning, oh God. Father, we rejoice when friends come. We rejoice when family come to visit us and to spend time with us, Lord. And I'm just thinking right now, oh Father, even for Kim and Larry as daughters here with us, oh God, from Ontario, God. Katie, we pray the Father to bless them tremendously as their family, Lord. They're with us. and worshiping the Lord together. I thank you, Lord, for every friend that's here, every visitor. I pray that they will experience the power of Christ, that they will leave this place never the same, but transformed by the power of your love. We thank you, we love you, in your precious name we say these things, Father. Amen. Before we go home, we're going to sing one song together, and we leave this place rejoicing the Lord. Amen.